When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Every team, every topic, everywhere, this is Believe.
3, 2, 1.
Do you know what I feel like doing?
Putting adrenaline in your soul?
I feel like kicking back, relaxing, and getting comfy. Welcome to the Get Comfy Podcast. I'm your host, Kalo, as always, here to give you the lowdown on all things that are just great. And I'm joined by my co-host.
What up, guys? It's his dashing Cody Rhodes, so my undashing Cody Rhodes. What up, guys? It is BKS, the best kept secret going in podcast today. What up? What do you guys want to talk about?
We got a whole lot to talk about, because before I go on a rant, I'm just gonna stay on track here. First of all, thank you to anybody and everybody who is liking and sharing this podcast with anybody and everybody you know.
Yeah, thank you, guys. Really appreciate it. Thank you.
So, WrestleMania 40 has come and gone. Night one, night two. Now, I want to ask you the big question, and then we'll get into the card. We'll do the full talking thing. Broad general sense. Is this the best WrestleMania of all time? Because they've talked about this, and agree with that.
Not the best WrestleMania. Did the main event have the best storytelling? Absolutely. I gotta say, WrestleMania 39 Night 1 is probably up there as one of the best WrestleManias.
Yes.
But, like, to say this was the best WrestleMania, absolutely not. Because there were, to say the best, you need to have each other match to be top tier. Mm-hmm. And there were some matches that weren't top tier. There were some matches that blew out of my expectations that I thought wasn't gonna be great. It was had me on the edge of my seat. And there were some matches that I was hyped for. And didn't do so good.
You know, it happens. It happens. Yeah. But without further ado, let's get through this card. And of course, just for, you know, the sake of things, I'm going to try my best to recount the full order of the card. Let's see how good my memory is.
I got you. You can't get the first match wrong.
I can't, because let me tell you, there was a point in this card outside of the main event where I might have blacked out. Shout out to the first match on the card, the man Becky Lynch versus Rhea Ripley for the WWE Women's World Championship.
Can we talk, before we go into the match physical, both had amazing entrances. No, I'm right. Becky coming out through her book, which was brilliant. For a second, I was like, what's that? Because they do the special effects. I'm like, did they actually get a bug? Was it special effects? Either way, that was good. And then Rhea had the band who plays it. The guy almost looked exactly like Rhea Ripley. And I was like, that's fucking scary as fuck.
You talk about cinema. She actually, at least from what I've heard, based her look off of the lead singer of the band.
The band based his look off the Rhea Ripley. Don't wait around. It's like, what came first, the chicken or the egg?
Exactly, and mommy always comes first. So the winner of this match, Rhea Ripley, retained.
We both knew it was going. We both had it. Rhea winning this match. You know, granted to be sure, and Rhea stated that she was feeling anxious literally before going out there. Becky had a fever of 102 because it's Philly. It was the Windy City. No, that's Chicago. Pause. It was cold. It was windy, though, for the first night one. So she was dealing with the flu, but still did a good match. It could have been better, both dealing with their own. It's crazy to think that Rhea was feeling anxious, even though this is not her first WrestleMania. Mm-hmm. Like, she had WrestleMania 39. She had WrestleMania 30. What was it, 36 that she fought Charlotte?
Yeah.
Yeah, and so it's like, to think that she was still feeling anxious, it's crazy to show you that you're never, no matter how many times you go out there, you're still going to have these thoughts, these angsty thoughts.
it's still like you're going out in front of over 100,000 people. And it's like, whether you're a superstar or not, you're still human. And this shows you, you know, it's a big deal. It's a huge deal.
And like, it's a huge deal. And I think, like I said, I can't state this enough, the match could have been better.
I thought it was okay. I didn't think it was bad. I didn't think it was... Like,
two of their caliber, you expect to be better.
Yeah.
But granted, with the stipulations, how Becky wasn't feeling well, and things, yeah, I get it. It makes sense.
Yeah, and this opens the door again. Monday Night Raw just went down. We didn't watch SmackDown yet. We're going Liv. In the direction of Liv. And that was a violent chair shot. I mean, she threw the thing at
funny
her
enough,
head.
Funny enough, as you know, we're doing our 2K GR mode over on Indian Cells. In 2K24, you could throw weapons. So when she threw that, I was like, oh, she did the thing from the video game. You can literally throw the... Also, that camera angle from Attack and Dom pushing the camera and then it going straight into the crowd for the next match, that whole setup, that was... I was like, that's amazing. That was, like, great. That was cool. That's what I like about the new era, the Renaissance era, the Triple H era, whatever you want to call it.
Peak
it was cool.
Cinematography.
You can't tell me that wasn't cool. Like, we also saw it at WrestleMania during that with Sami Zayn walking through the curtains with his family. We got straight, like, one take shot.
It was perfect. And, again, it just shows you. Also, this is something we got to talk about in, like, a totally separate podcast because this is a big deal. It's a new era in WWE, literally. And they market these things like it's a brand new age in wrestling. I think now more than ever, this is when we're going to see it. So that's what I'm looking forward to. The next match on the card, I'm going to take a stab in the dark here. The six-pack tag team ladder match for the WWE Undisputed Tag Team Championships. Of course, going into this match, there was a stipulation. Both titles had to be retrieved for the match to end. And going into this match, the presentation, the SmackDown Tag Team Championships were on one side, the Raw ones were on the other, and they did the thing. They finally split the Tag Team Championships. Raw and SmackDown have their own champs. Their respective divisions can finally flourish. And your winners to this match, SmackDown tag champs, are now A-Town Down Under. And of course.
Awesome choice. I forgot my boys. And I wouldn't have picked them, but I forgot it wouldn't make sense if two babyfaces team wins the titles. You had Truth and DIY, but like babyfaces. I mean, like one team from SmackDown, one team from Raw. It would have been cool if they kind of split the teams, like one team, like Austin and R-Truth both pulled the SmackDown titles. So now they have the team together. That would have been cool still with Dowling. But the match was kind of slow, I got to say. It was. The crowd was kind of dead. Night one crowd was really dead.
Yes, and, yes. That was the big thing that night.
That crowd was really dead. JD freaking taking the tumble of a lifetime through the two tables. What was it? One of the ladders breaking and the ref was trying to tell Damian Priest not to climb it. And he was like, shut the fuck
up. I was like, boy, don't climb that ladder. You're too damn big to be going up there on a broken ladder.
Did you see the Mistrons they did too?
Oh, with the new Catch Republic, right?
I mean, before that, before the match even started, they had the Arch and True Tronch play before any teams came out. And I'm like, you guys, what are you guys doing back there? You guys are messing up.
It was the nerves. People were shaking, you know? But
And then what was it? Pat McAfee who called it out. They're like, oh, New Cash Republic got a new Tron.
And then Michael Cole just went in on the production team. So that's funny. I'm glad they split the tag titles. Long time coming. And of course, R-Truth had the moment of the weekend, in my opinion, where on Monday Night Raw, the Judgment Day were celebrating and they held up their titles, Damian Priest and Rhea Ripley, and R-Truth just snuck in behind and said, like, I brought the titles to the Judgment Day. Oh, it's
still
so
great. Still doing R-Truth. Also, can we talk, how'd you feel? You're a fan of DIY. How'd you feel about the cosplay of D-Generation X?
Oh, I'm glad you brought this up, because apparently people on Twitter, or grant you, it's Twitter, they were like, pissed about it in a way, like they were agitated, I should say, and it just plays into how R-Truth thought they were DIY or they were DX.
Regeneration X.
Yes. And it's like, if you don't watch the TV show week to week, you're going to miss out on it. Also, too, let's not forget, like, that team is a darling of NXT, run by Triple H at the time and Shawn Michaels. So it's like, why not? Like, there's wrestlers that get, like, all these different types of gears that pay homage to their favorite people.
All why can't DIY like, do it? Johnny used to do the move the in Marvel and
then
it's really cool because if you guys know Johnny Gargano and Shawn Michaels has a special relations, even though in his final days in NXT HBK came out and cried because Johnny gave him a box but it was his first NXT takeover gear and he gave that to Shawn Michaels and all that, so it's like it's a like special meaning to it. I like it. It's not like they're going on Monday Night Raw as the new Regeneration X and we're doing that. It was nice. It was like a nice little like a WrestleMania homage to DX. And not gonna lie, Tommaso Ciampa kind of looks like Triple H with the shaved head and the beard.
He does without a doubt. But I want to change gears now to let's talk about
Dominic and Santos Escobar versus Andrade Iro and Rey Mysterio.
All right. Why didn't Carlito turn in this match? I feel like they were driving the knife home that Rey Mysterio purposefully picked Andrade and then he picked Dragon Lee first. It's like
you also, had Andrade's it. On Raw. What are you doing?
Yeah, it's weird. They don't care. Like I told you, the draft, maybe they stick to it this year. I don't know. But I thought that with Dom losing last year, he could get the one up and then blah, blah, blah. It makes sense with the faces.
With the faces going, I would have thought my booking was granted. You had Santos's team winning. I had LWO, so that was good on me. But hindsight, looking at the match, I was like, oh, you know, they could give Dom this win. And then at WrestleMania 41, you could do Rey versus Dom. Retirement match for Rey and kind of close that chapter off of that, but they didn't really do that. They're just burying Dom. It's like, also, can we talk about how the two which players were they for the Eagles? They came out on big.
Oh, Jason Kelsey and
that's Travis Kelsey's brother, right? Kelsey's boyfriend's brother.
Oh my gosh, yes, of course. did Taylor Swift
Michael say that? Who said that? I fucked it up.
I think it was Pat, maybe? I don't know. Michael Cole probably said it. But yeah, they got involved in the match. Also, too, that kind of just... It was a good moment. It was funny. I like Jason Kelsey. But that felt shoehorned in. Like, it just didn't feel natural to the match. I don't know. It's weird. It's one of those things where it's like, all right, that's a WrestleMania moment in a nutshell. It's just a good match. It's face versus heel. Fun moment thrown in with a popular pop culture icon like Jason Kelsey. And yeah, you're in Philly. You're going to get a pop there. So I had no other thoughts on this match. It's just, you know, it's one of those matches that needed to be on the card. And I guess we'll shift gears here to... I want to talk about Bianca, Naomi, and Jade versus Damage Control. All right, I'm going to give you your moment here because, you know, you're a Damage Control stan. What did you think? What did you think of the presentation? Because I thought it was great, both sides.
You heard me. I was gushing over Dakota Kai. I was like, head over. I was on the floor, dead. I was on the floor right here like, ugh, I can't get Dakota Kai. Beautiful. Funny person on Twitch. Check it out. Jay Carger, you know, not outshining her team, coming by herself and having this special interest. All three of them felt equal.
Yes.
Almost. Not like, all right, you know, even though we got Naomi and Bianca, Jade is not above them, even though everyone knows she is by the way they're presenting her. But at WrestleMania, she wasn't presented like, I'm better than all of you. We're all one unit. Let's do this together. It was fine. Kind of wish it wasn't at the expense of the women's tag titles.
It's weird where you have the titles involved in the match. Like, they're held by Asuka and Kairi Sane. But at the same time, too, you can't... I think it's too early to throw a title on Jade. I think moving forward, though, that faction or that group should stay together. I just think there's only positive things that can come from it. Jade Cargill can also learn under Bianca and Naomi. And I only see positive things stemming from that. Damage control, where we're at now, I don't know as far as where they go post-Mania, you know, the plans with EO, all that stuff. But overall, again, much like the Rey match, it was decent. It was good. People were presented in the right way. Both entrances were amazing. Again, it's just those are the things that elevate Mania, and they did it really well here. All right. Brother versus brother. Jimmy versus Jey Uso. Meh.
The hype package was better than the match.
The, what, 5 seconds they were in the main event? Better than the match itself.
Yeah.
I am sticking to this idea that this match should have had something extra to it. Whether that be a Philadelphia street fight because you are in the city of brotherly love, it would make sense. Two brothers, street fight, you can kind of just go off the rails with it. Also, too, where is Rikishi? I feel like there should have been involvement on that front as well. You know, these are your two sons fighting. And again, there's the looming bloodline thing happening in the horizon. Where are you at, bro? Like, your family is just imploding on the grandest stage. And yeah, you're not there. So it was whatever. You know, I don't think going into this, at least for me, I love Jimmy and Jey. I think they're good wrestlers. I didn't expect a masterclass, but I expected at least a little more emotion or a little more stakes to it. But again, you know, I didn't expect this to be an over-the-top thing, like an NXT TakeOver match, like a classic one. I just expected it to be here and just kind of take it from there.
I agree that it should have something. It should have like a no streak, like a no disqualification, a no, well, no holds bar. No, that and Ellen and another match down the line where we're going to talk to. The only street fight we got was the Final Testament and the Hurt Business 2.0. And we'll get into that as well. But
the
like,
Pride.
This match is only 10
called the
minutes.
Pride.
What?
They're called the Pride.
What, the Hurt Business 2.0?
Yeah. That's apparently. Street. Apparently. I didn't know that, but yeah, continue.
I had no idea. I thought it was the Street Profits and Bobby Lashley with BFAP. Oh, shout out to BFAP. You didn't know she was in there and surprise to see her. But going back to the match with Jay and Jimmy, match was only 10 minutes. I hope that they can read, like, down the, like, in the next pay-per-view, like, if they make, because there's the King and Queen of the Ring happening. If they can meet each other at that bracket and go off and kind of redeem themselves into this match, because it was lackluster. It really was. Like I said, I was more interested into the hype package of it. I am my brother's keeper, and I am not my brother's keeper. It was so fucking good. So fucking good. And Wizzy came out of note for some reason to do, you know, I thought he was going to do the Yeet song, but he did his own song. I don't know what. Wizzy was doing his own thing. Like I said, I think that the main event of night one, it was 45 minutes, one of the longest matches in WrestleMania history. That's not an Iron Man match. I feel like that should have been taken out and given to this match, definitely.
Well, also, too, I just think you're in the city of brotherly love. This match should have been a representation of the city.
100%.
But, you know, what do we know?
Give us a street fight. Go into the city of Philly.
Yeah, fight at the Rocky Steps.
Kind of like, I would have loved it, like, or Falls Count Anywhere, how, if you remember, it was like Extreme Rules, and it was Dean Ambrose and Luke Harper.
Yeah.
And they like, fought. Like, they drove in a car, and then they came back, and then later on, they come back to finish the match in the ring. I wish they did that, or had a camera crew try to follow them to see where they were going. That would have been cool.
Now, I guess we'll shift gears, and this is where I had to sacrifice a soul for a soul, my friend. I'm sorry. I had to do it. Sami Zayn versus Gunther for the IC title.
Can we talk about how that 3 minutes made me care about this match way more than this whole fucking build.
All right, but let me... Perfect, you bring that up. Let me present this to you. Take this match, and let's just say through editing magic, you can cookie cut Sami Zayn out and insert Chad Gable. Put his kid in there.
100%. It would have been way better. I'm not saying that this match was great. I mean, it was good. It wasn't great.
I'm just saying, this looks like they had the Chad Gable story just... Put it in there, and they're like, throw Sammy instead.
Because they wanted to give that Rocky feeling. Granted, you could have done it with Chad.
Olympic gold medalist? I mean, nothing to take away from Sammy, because I agree with you. That little thing where he was talking to his kid and wife, and then Kevin Owens at the top of the ramp, it was great. I'm happy for Sammy. I actually love the match. I thought it was good. The driver... in the corner at the end of the match, it was great, but I'm like, Chad Gable, you were right there, man.
This match would have been fantastic if it was Chad Gable, because then you could have had Chad with the microphone say his daughter, like do the Rocky scene, but it's him sending his wife saying his daughter's name. Mm-hmm. I don't know his daughter's name, and be like, I did it. Well, like, baby girl, I did it, and that would have been much better. Honestly, I also wish, you know, if Kevin Owens won the match, they could have, because Sami does the same thing for Kevin, they could have done the Eddie Guerrero, Chris Benoit thing for WrestleMania 20, and have that minute. Many people say that could have been, that was their moment last year at WrestleMania, but it was like, it would have been cool if Kevin won and they both come out, both indie darlings, but I would have still loved for Chad Gable. We might get a Chad heel turn down now with the tease that we got where Chad told Sami at the end of No, it was during Mania that you owe me.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save, too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
Before we continue the show, I wanted to take a little time to talk about Noom. Noom uses the latest in behavioral science to empower people to take control of their health for good through a combination of psychology, technology, and human coaching on their platform to help millions of users meet their personal health and wellness goals. A lot of people face pressures to change themselves to fit other people's expectations, and the more freeing solution is to find the things that work for you. Noom understands that everyone's weight loss journey is unique, and what works for someone else might not really work for you. That's why Noom's approach adapts to your lifestyle. It's flexible and focuses on progress, not perfection, allowing you to work towards your goals at a pace that's comfortable for you. And for me personally, that's huge. I know that I am not Dwayne The Rock Johnson. I know that I'm not getting up at 4 a.m. to go work out. But by using Noom and having that little more of flexibility and stability, it certainly helps with my journey here. Noom also makes it easy to start your weight loss journey and stay on track with personalized lessons that help you gain confidence and a practical knowledge, one-on-one coaching, and cognitive behavioral approaches that teach you how to be mindful of your habit. 75% of Noom weight loss users finished the program, and more than 60% of users that engaged with the program kept the weight off for a year or more. So start building better habits for healthier long-term results. Sign up for your trial at Noom.com/believe. Again, that is Noom, Noom.com/believe. Well, they're having, I saw a graphic on X. They're having the championship match, I think, next week on X, Raw.
If you said on X, I swear to God, 3 minutes cannot be enough.
No, not the stupid rush or whatever they're calling it.
The speed title. That's a drug. Yeah. Speed is a drug.
Well, adrenaline is one hell of a drug too. So let's talk about night one's main event. The Bloodline, Rocky and Romy versus Cody and Sethi. I had to say Sethi because everyone had a Y. But, you
tell
know.
Tell me why. Ain't nothing but a mistake.
Props to Rock. He can go.
Rock is the better shape he was in he was better shape than he was in WrestleMania 28 and 29.
Yeah, I think so. And he clearly put the time and effort. Again, Roman and Rock won night one. I think that was a given. I think that was more than, you know, anticipated on all fronts.
You know what it is? Well, looking back at it, this is just WrestleMania 27 sugar-coated, like, better. Because at this match, just like how WrestleMania 27, now hear me out.
Mm-hmm.
WrestleMania 27, Miz versus Cena, it was literally just it was basically Rock versus Cena teasing for WrestleMania 28. This match, because the build-up, it wasn't Cody versus Roman. It was Cody versus Rock. That's all it was. Roman was a secondary character in this whole story. Yeah, I'm the final boss. Roman did not do anything this whole story. He just sat back and let Rock whip Cody's ass. If they gave Roman this spot that The Rock was in, like the blood and all that, that would have been cool. But it was like the feud was Cody versus Rock. And they literally teased this up on this past episode on Raw. Oh, if you break my heart again, we're going to have it. Oh, don't break my heart again. And we're getting Cody versus Roman. Cody versus Rock, WrestleMania 41. This whole thing, night one and night two, was a whole setup to get Cody versus Rock at WrestleMania.
That's SummerSlam, bro. Or Saudi. No. Call me crazy.
Saudi for Roman and Rock. And Rock, we're getting at WrestleMania 41.
No.
You can't tell me that's not the same thing after WrestleMania 27 when Cena and The Rock were both in the ring, and they say it was two once in a lifetime, and set that up to man. This whole match was a setup for WrestleMania 41 with Cody versus Rock.
I have a few things I want to hit on real quick. But how funny, you sound like me last year, and you look like me last year.
No, I'm not upset.
Dejected.
But for different reasons. You were upset for Cody. Now finishing the story, I'm upset that they sacrificed this to just do a setup for WrestleMania 41.
All right, real quick though, is it just me, or do I think the fact, grant you, he was given the title from Muhammad Ali's widow, blah blah blah, I think it's super corny that Rock is coming out with a title. I think it's corny.
No.
Get
he's
it
the
out.
Final boss. Stop. No, he can do the fuck what he wants. He's the final boss.
I think it's so corny. It's like me coming to like a wrestling event with my own title and saying I'm the champion. It's like, dude.
And then somebody cashes it on you and
somebody will come hit me with a briefcase. But it's like you don't need to carry a title.
Yes, you do, because he doesn't give a... You see the 50 million vest he's wearing. He doesn't give a fuck about you. He's better than
corny.
You, and you know it.
I think it's corny. I think it's super corny.
He's better than you, and you know it.
Isn't that MJF? That's MJF. Yeah, I don't know. Grant you, the match itself, I thought was good. The beatdown of Seth Rollins pretty much forecasted a loss the following night. What else? Rock selling the spear. He oversold it, but again, I'm fine with that. I thought it was funny, though his expression was just priceless. And yeah, like this was just, again, telegraphed. I can tell you, we both said it. Cody and Seth are losing night one. Whatever happened. And we got Bloodline rules for night two. Now, let's transition to night two. Arguably, the best night of WrestleMania we've gotten in the past few years. Any and all WrestleManias prior included. I think this top to bottom, was one of the best nights of wrestling the WWE has put out in recent years, beginning to end. And I think that's the biggest thing to stress here. Yes, there were kind of, I would say, air quotes, down moments, but at the same time, too, the quality of every match included, it was top tier. It was WrestleMania worthy. And without further ado, this leads us into our first match. Seth freaking Rollins versus Drew McIntyre for the World Heavyweight Championship. Again, like I just said, Seth losing here was telegraphed. Drew, throughout the match, kept being Drew in the perfect sense, where he was like, he was live tweeting during the match, which we'll get to. He was talking about Seth not being focused and Seth clearly was hurt, blah, blah, blah. And again, the involvement of CM Punk here, top tier stuff. It was, again, cinema where, yes, Drew kept saying to Seth, your involvement, your focus on the bloodline is what's going to cost you the title. But at the end of the day, Drew McIntyre's focus on CM Punk is what cost him his moment.
Yeah, no, I thought it was great. You know, granted, you know, you called it with the Damian Priest cash in and all that, so get on you for that.
When I tell you, I let out a sigh of relief that that man was coming to cash in, I'm like, please, Lord, do it now. I don't care if you lose. I don't care if you win. Just get that briefcase out of here, because I could not handle a Cody cash in. And still, we'll get to that moment later on.
CM Punk getting physical was a nice touch. You know, first of all, before we knew that, when Drew went to go kiss that girl, they're like, oh, he's going to kiss his wife, his girl. Like, they weren't even sure who that was. And they were like, his girlfriend, his wife. That was really fun. I love this free commentating. Like, they don't have to follow by like a script or whatever. Guys yelling in their ear, they can say whatever they feel like saying. Like, oh, real commentary. Perfect. Yeah, it's great. It's great. You know, it would have been so great if they gave us the old Drew McIntyre theme song for this match.
Oh, I was hoping.
Oh my
God. Maybe going forward, you know, his dreams were broken.
No, but yeah, but the lyrics, what is yours is now mine. It made more sense here. It made more sense here for that. The outcome of it was great. The match was like it was kind of like a finisher spot, basically. Yeah. It wasn't like a real wrestling match.
Well, I think you had to do it that way because, one, you know, Seth was hurt for the match.
Seth's been hurt up the whole year since SummerSlam. Don't that last man standing match for Shinsuke. You can't give me shit for that. No.
I'm just saying. He was beaten down and it was presented as such. But now, speak of a beatdown, let's talk about that Philadelphia street fight. The Pride versus the Final Testament.
This match had no reason to go this hard.
No, it didn't. No one, I'm glad it did.
I'm glad it did, too. No one had any. No one was like, oh, this is the bathroom break. No one gives a fuck about this match. And then, like, they came out to play. Bully Ray being the special guest referee. Philly, yeah, there was no point in making him the special guest referee for that. But, like, they showed, like, we're now the bathroom break. We don't have much build, but don't miss our match. And they
that's what it needed to do. That's exactly what it needed to do. Because going into this match, I was like, okay, cool. You know, I like Karrion Kross, the Street Profits, obviously. Everyone in this match I like. It's just the matter of, like, did we really need the match? And I'm very glad we had it. Like, it was fun.
This is what the Jay versus Jimmy should have been.
Yes, 100%. Now, I want to talk about, I know this is, I think this is out of order. LA Knight versus AJ Styles.
No, that's right.
I meant to do that. These are two of your boys. This was the, all right, first of all, AJ Styles' new theme.
I kind of like it. It's still the same. It's not bad. It's like, it fits his character.
Yes. Yes. Because that matters.
Yeah. And you hear his voice. Yeah. And at the beginning too.
I still like his first one. You know, yeah. I know. But a moment given to LA Knight. had to happen. It had to.
No, the shout out to a woman who got the Slim Jim car. I was upset about that. I wanted the Slim Jim car.
I mean, when you pull up in a car like that, I mean, you make a statement.
Can you imagine driving around our block with just a nice car and just Slim Jim all around it, wrapped around it?
I might make that for my car, but I'm glad LA Knight got his moment. Clearly over with the crowd, and I still think what I proposed heading into Mania is going to happen down the road at SummerSlam, maybe, or I don't know, one of the PLEs they're running. But yeah, you know, I'm just glad this card had LA Knight again, like the match prior. Did we really need it on the card? Maybe. Yeah. I mean, it's AJ Styles, obviously, but it was way better than I expected. So again, tip of the hat here. Now let's transition to Logan Paul versus Randy Orton versus Kevin Owens for the United States Championship. Going into this match, I believe I said Randy Orton, you said KO, aka Logan Paul would not retain. And then I messaged you prior to WrestleMania that night, and I said, I wouldn't be surprised here if Logan retains, only for the fact his brother has a fight coming up on Netflix. He's going to be there. WWE has a deal with Netflix coming up, and they damn sure want some representation of the company there. Logan Paul by himself ain't enough. So having the title on him as the U.S. champ, brand synergy, and wouldn't you know it, Logan Paul retained his United States Championship.
Before we go do that one last thing about the AJ and that just started off while you were talking. That, like, how AJ didn't wait to get in the ring, he rushed down. And like, that, you know, that was beautiful. It's like these guys fall. I remember I sent you the clip. It was like at the it was like the fan interaction, and they just started fighting. A lot of people was like, oh, it was kind of awkward and all that. And I made the joke, it was like, all the fans are having the cameras out, no one's trying to stop. It's like, because there was no security. There was like no security. Like, you could have just jumped in and be like, yeah, take that, AJ.
You let them fight.
let them hug it out. But no, I just wanted to say, that's what also, I feel like, what Jay and Jimmy should have done as well, too. Like, Jay should have been making his entrance, and Jimmy should have just attacked him before the bell rung, and give it that little edge. But yeah, no. Sorry, I cut you off about the United States title match. They did the same thing with Sammy. They did the same thing with Kevin, what they did with Sammy, where, all right, now you do it, go. Which I was like, if we're going to get more stuff like this backstage, like, I'm all for it.
Oh, obviously.
Yeah. I'm all for it. I like it. Because you get that little, like, behind-the-scenes thing. Like, it's fake. It's, like, pre-managed. But it's, like, you give that, like, oh, his best friend is waiting for him to go out and giving him this money. Like, it's nice.
Which, in the real world, that would probably happen. Yeah. You know? You would like your friend to be there for your biggest fight ever going into Mania. Your thoughts on Logan retaining? Is it a bad move? I don't think it is. I think it's a good move.
I don't think it is. And, you know, going into this match, you know, we both... Let me pull up the notes, because I think you had...
Randy, you said Kevin.
Yeah, I had Kevin, you had Randy. Yep. We were both wrong on that. Hindsight, going into this match, when I was watching it, I was looking back, I was like, all right, Logan lost last year against Seth. I was like, oh, there's a possibility Logan can retain and all that. I honestly, like... You know me. I want all my champions on the show. Like, I want it. But it's like, who else was... It's like, who's another heel who can win? Because now you have Grayson and Austin as tag team. And there's not a lot of big heels on SmackDown. You have Solo, which I feel like if you get it to Randy, you could have done Randy and Solo for that U.S. title. Yeah, it's like, oh, I was like, all right. Yeah, you know, because you have more baby faces than heels on SmackDown. They could do so much with that. But it was like...
It's only because his brother's fight is going to be on Netflix in a few months. WWE wants someone there with the title, so.
Oh, yeah, no, it's probably, yeah, no, that makes sense.
It's all Netflix's fault. Just remember that.
Also, I want Kevin and Randy to be team now. Team RKO.
That would work. That would work, but then, we got to see if they can coexist.
And then you could do two things before the match. One, you could do the Batista RKO bond, like how Randy and Batista used to do it. And two, I love how like Randy and Kevin were actually working well together. They're like, higher. All right, higher. And then Kevin was like, you still want to work together? All right. And then Randy tried to sneak an RKO in.
Perfect.
And then they're like, we're doing this. Okay, I guess we're doing this now. Like that was peak, like funny cinema goes. That was peak funny cinema.
Oh, for sure. Now I want to move on to Io Sky versus Bayley.
This is the match I did not watch. I said, because fun fact for everybody, for night two, I ended up going out, and then I did not look at social media. I was like, you know, when I get back, I'll watch Mania. And then for this one, I was like, let me just turn to the end, because I wanted to see if my girl Dakota Kai would turn face and help Bayley win. She didn't do that. So this match,
It was a clean thing, a clean finish. Bayley is now your new women's champion. We both said that was going to be the case.
Mm-hmm.
Again, good moment for Bayley. Happy for her. Really just a good time.
Yeah, I think this is her first win at WrestleMania as a babyface, too.
Which is crazy to think about. All right. I'm glad you brought up the entrances. Because I said to my friend while watching WrestleMania, I'm like, if Roman pulls up with a piano, it's game over. We're going right back to the normal. And then he proceeds to come out with a full orchestra. I'm like, my boy Cody's done. I'm sorry. I can't do this again this year. I started coming to terms with it before the match started.
I knew Cody was winning that one. I was like, Cody had that final, like, I'm done. I learned from my mistakes. I know what needs to be done. And let me call my boys to beat up this big.
I want to skip the match, and you know what I'm talking about as far as the match. I want to talk about this last 5 minutes because this is what I want to spend most of my time talking about. We have differing opinions on this matter. You, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, said it was overbooked, and it was. Was there any other words you used? I don't want to say overrated.
You said overbooked. I said it was overbooked, and then I was like. The one thing I nitpicked, which I think me and you both agreed about, was like the Taker spot.
Yes.
And, you know, it makes sense. Jay taking out Jimmy, Cena taking out Solo, and then The Rock taking out Cena. And then I felt like, because we never got this moment in WWE where you had Rock versus Randy, to have Randy come and be, because Randy is Cody's little brother. Basically, you know, you could tell like it was supposed to be the Austin spot, but like they couldn't get Austin. They're like, oh, who's another guy from the Attitude? The Undertaker. If you couldn't get the Austin spot, it would have been better if you got Randy.
Well, yeah, it was clearly Austin's spot. Yeah. Taker. This is my problem. Each person that came down to the ring had history with someone in the bloodline at some point in time.
Yes.
Undertaker has that history with Roman as well.
Oh, we also forgot Seth. I want to save that later. I'll get into that.
Yeah, because that's like the end cap.
Yeah.
But again, like I said, going into Mania, this is Avengers Endgame. You're going to get everybody and anybody that has been involved with the bloodline that has been screwed over. Grant you, Kevin and Sammy did not come down to the ring.
I felt like if that did that, I would have been overbooking it.
It's like too many good guys to counteract the bad guys.
Yeah. Then it's like, oh, you really the good guy at this point now? Getting your whole squad to go. But like I said, Undertaker, you know, supposed to be the Austin spot of 40 years of WrestleMania. When you say WrestleMania, who do you think of? Undertaker. Makes sense, but it's like, final boss, your cousin tried to take my career away. I'm going to take his title away by helping my friend win it. It should have been Randy.
That, and if the glass shattered,
the roof would have gone.
Or Triple H.
Well, Triple H can't do it. He has his heart thing.
I know, but I'm more thinking like who has history with who.
With The Rock, yeah.
Rock.
But no, but another reason why I say Randy, because Randy and Roman, Randy, a lot of people say the one feud that Randy missed out on was Randy versus Rock. Yeah. Both three generation superstars never interacted besides WrestleMania 20, never had that one-on-one match. That would have given me chills. It would have been perfect. Roman is looking at Cody and out of nowhere an RKO and then just slithers away. because everyone was getting their music. Yes. With Randy, it's like, play my music. This is going to be really cool. Hold on, wait a minute. And like with Randy, you don't need to play his music. He could just come RKO rock and just throw the way. It'll be like, it was kind of like the Seth where his music hit and then it was like, hi, Seth. Bye, Seth, because he got Superman punched.
Let's talk about that. Were you, first of all, were you in the camp? I was convinced for a solid like 10 seconds.
Don't tell me.
I thought John Moxley, Dean Ambrose.
You and half the internet, I fucking swear.
But no, come on.
I did not think for a second that John Moxley would, after the whole thing with CM Punk and then the AEW Barry and all that, no.
Rational thinking, obviously it's not happening because John Moxley's with AEW, but there was a part of me that was like, the Shield music, this is Roman's swan song, his send off, the Shield coming back, which it did, played a part in the end.
It did, and I was like, oh shit, it's Seth, because I remember at the Royal Rumble, the Mind Game, Seth did it. I'm like, all right, we're seeing everyone but Seth. So when I heard the Shield, I was like, oh, and I love Rock. Rock is looking at the crowd like he's gonna come down, and it's like, were you happy? It was like, you know, he's broken, so he's not gonna do much. So like,
again, storytelling. Seth said to Cody, he's gonna be his Shield, and what did he do? He took the chair shot for Cody.
Two things. One, I love how, even though it was years ago.
10 Roman, years.
10 years. No, it's 2014. Yeah, 10 years. Wow. Instead of, he had a choice to hit Cody with the chair or Seth. And with Roman, it was like the choose your own path. It was like, you hit A, they hit Cody, or hit B with Seth. And you have two different outcomes. And Roman's like, he looked at Cody. He's like, I gotta get, I'm doing this. This is 10 years in the making. And he chose, his pride went over Cody and he went over to hit Seth. And Seth did the same pose that Roman did to the go down. It was like beautiful, beautiful.
Seth fell on the rope like Roman did.
He did, yeah.
Oh, it was just so good. That moment alone, just, it was amazing. Now, that leads us to the finish. Cody Rhodes finally finished the story and he beat Roman Reigns to become the undisputed WWE champion. Now the story is finished. Cody Rhodes, the champ. When I tell you I watched that match at least 3 to 4 times the Monday after, I was very tired, but I watched it again. Second time watching it, I was overcome with emotion because this is everything. This is Cody's story from, again, undesirable to undeniable.
To undisputed.
Nice little, put that on a t-shirt they did quick. But it was perfect.
It was perfect. I love how he's not giving away, he's not right away giving up the undisputed title. It's like, this is Roman's title. It wouldn't make sense, but, you know. Also, they called it the WWE Undisputed Universal title.
It's going to change. It's going to change. We're going to get something. No, I don't really care for, like, a new title either.
It's the Universal title. It's the Universal title. You know what? To make you happy, to give you, to ease your mind, if you go to the WWE page and you look at Cody's accomplishments, right? They counted as two titles. They counted as the Universal title and the WWE title.
So bro, it's one title. It's one title. Get that out of here. But yeah, WrestleMania has capped off with that moment. All the guys coming down to the ring. Although I do have to say, I didn't enjoy the moment up front, mainly for the fact I was like, my friend said this. He was like, imagine if The Rock got back in the ring with a mic and said, no. I'm the board member of TKO. We're restarting this match and reliving the moment that Dusty had where he had the title in his hand and it was taken away.
I was so happy for that.
You should have seen me. I was sitting up. I'm like, just stop. Play the graphic. End it. I don't care. This is a happy moment. End it. I don't care. Fade to black.
Brock was like, I'm the boss.
Yeah. I was scared for my life. But then when they faded to the package, I was like, it's over. I can rest now.
That didn't come to mind. Granted, also the tag match was more bloodline rules as well, too. Because Rock was like, if you do anything, I'm firing you. But anyway, overbooked, I think it's like, because granted, WrestleMania 39, we had that match, and then this one was more of like an end game feeling. Shout out to I forget which wrestling analyst. It was Sam, who was the one who was like, "I'm feeling this is gonna be like the end game vibes for it." You coined it as well. I still felt like it was overbooked. I felt like it makes sense, but it's like, I don't know about it. Was it the best WrestleMania? Not by a long shot.
I would argue, putting this out there, best WrestleMania main event.
No. Okay. Best storytelling? Yes.
That is. I was just about to say before you cut in. I was going to say story wise. I think this is the best main event.
This is up there with Daniel Bryan.
Yes,
at WrestleMania 30.
Well, that beginning match? To end match wise, I still think the match was great. I think it was great, but
because the last 5 minutes leads into the storytelling of it. So it's like, also shout out Cody looking over his shoulders when he's hitting the Trinity of Crossroads. He's like, it's all over here. No, oh shit, it's over there.
Yeah, it was just nice callbacks through the whole thing, and
Solo yelling at Roman to finish it, and he's like, I know I am.
Well, that will lead into another podcast where we talk what's next. But do you have any closing thoughts on Mania?
Not the best WrestleMania match. Overbooked.
This guy. You don't like things. I'm just convinced. You don't like to be happy.
I don't like things. The Kevin and Sammy versus Jey Uso from last year. That was nice.
Let me have my moment. This is my thing.
I didn't get my cash in on Cody. You're not getting your moment.
Of course. But the moment I am going to give to you guys is wrapping up the Get Comfy podcast. We hope you guys enjoyed. This show goes live every single week on iTunes, Spotify, and of course, the Bleed Podcast Network. I've been Kalo. We have finished the damn story.
That's right. For now. No, or is the story just beginning?
Ooh. We'll see you guys next time.
Later.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.